Amen. Well, I appreciate what we're feeling here tonight. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. Amen. I believe he can do anything we need him to do. Amen. I told him at church the other night, deer season is open. And you know how I go hunting? I go to a place where I think they're coming through. I put up a camera. And I get pictures of them. I get signs of where they've been. And I believe if they've been there before, they'll come through again. Amen. And so when I come to church, when I want to get in touch with God, I go to a place where God's been before. And I see signs here that God has visited this place. Amen. I appreciate Brother Rodney's testimony. He talked to me after church today. And I want to tell you, that's a sign, that's not a sign of anything except God. And that lets me know God's been in this place. Amen. So when you see signs of something, I believe he'll visit us again. The Bible said where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'll be in the midst. Amen. And when God promises something, I believe he will bring it to pass. Don't you? Amen. I appreciate what Brother Rich said about the end of time. And I believe we are fastly approaching the end of time. But if you look at the Bible, there was three times when the Lord raised his voice. The first time was at the tomb of Lazarus. The Bible said Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. Man, the second time was at his crucifixion. The Bible said he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. And then the third time hasn't happened yet, but the Bible said he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. You know, I looked at that the first time Jesus raised his voice, one man got up out of the tomb. The second time he raised his voice, the Bible said in the next verse that many of the saints were seen walking around. So a bunch of people got up the second time. But the third time he raises his voice, the Bible said, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain is going to be caught up together. So the last time he does it, everybody's getting up. They're going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. It's going to be a reunion. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day when the saints of God get home. I believe it's approaching. It's been a privilege to be here this weekend. Get in with us tonight and let's have church.
Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Nobody but you, Lord, nobody but you. When I was in trouble, you came to my rescue. Nobody but you, Lord, nobody but you. Lord, you healed the sick and you raised the dead. With two fish and five loaves of bread, 5,000 souls you fed. So I know if you did it back then, I know you're gonna do it again. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Oh, nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. When I was in trouble, you came to my rescue. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Well, Lord, you've been my doctor. You've been my lawyer too. And when I needed the victory, you've always come through. So I know if you did it back then, well, I know you're gonna do it again. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Oh, nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. No, nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. 'Cause when I was in trouble, you came to my rescue, yes. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Oh, now, Lord, you've been my doctor. You've been my lawyer, too. And when I needed the victory, you've always come through. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. No, nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. When I was in trouble, you came to my rescue. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. 'Cause when I was in trouble, you came to my rescue. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you.
Amen. Well, I believe God's able to do whatever we need Him to do. Amen. I'd like to say again, it's been a privilege to be here this weekend. And got friends all over the church. And appreciate Brother Brett and Sister Brianna for letting us stay with them. Amen. He don't seem like a nephew. I never would have dreamed he had been my nephew by marriage growing up, Brother Allen. But here we are. And amen. Proud of him and Sister Brianna. And I believe the Lord wants to help us. Amen. He wants to keep us. You know, I went to, where was that at in Pennsylvania? Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We took a trip out there last year and went to the Amish villages. And all they have is a standard that they live. And no spirit. Amen. Just a very strict standard that they live. And I went on a tour and was listening to them. And they said that that age of accountability in there, I don't know if it's 15, 16, somewhere through there, they let them go out for 2 years on their own and try the ways of the world. And they said over 90% of them come back and live that rigid lifestyle that they live. And it smote my heart that day as they told us that, because I don't know that we could say in our Pentecostal holiness churches that we keep 90% of our young people. And we claim to have the power and the Spirit of God. So I appreciate people that's raised in this, that go on. Amen. I want the doors wide open to the world. I believe they ought to be. But we ought to keep our own too, shouldn't we? Amen. I appreciate those that's been raised. And Brother Brock and Brother Brandon, I grew up with them. Brother Dustin, different ones. And it's a joy to see them going on for God. Amen. I'm proud of Brandon and Brandy fixing to have a baby. Amen. I told him he's going to be more like a grandpa raising a baby than a daddy. Man, I give him a hard time. Man, he kind of an old man of the generation. Man, the grandpa of my generation. Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight. I want the Lord to help us. I really felt like the Lord laid this on my heart back when Brother Steve first called me and asked me to come. And I hope I can deliver it to you tonight. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Amen. It's good to be saved, is it not? Man, you can enjoy life living for God. You ought to enjoy it. It's a victorious way. Amen. Genesis chapter 37. I'll be doing a little more reading than usual tonight. If you'll bear with me, I want to preach this to you. Genesis 37, let's start in verse number 3. We'll skip through about two or three chapters here. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse number 33. And he knew it, and he said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all of his sons stood, and all of his sons and all of his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into my grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard. Chapter 39, verse 17. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought in unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. Verse number 19, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant unto me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. Chapter 41, verse number 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath shewed thee all of this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all of my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. My, what a story we just highlighted right here in just a few chapters. The story of Joseph. And I'm telling you, if there ever was a man that had a heart of gold, I believe it was Joseph. A man that wanted to please God. A man that just wanted to be in God's will no matter what it cost him. Amen. Joseph wanted to be in God's will. And you know, in life you can't always avoid everything that you would like to. Amen. There's a lot of things that I look back over my life, and if I could have went around it, I would have. If I could have went over it, I would have. If I could have made a better choice, I would have. And how many of you know there's things in life that sometimes you just got to go through? Amen. That's what Joseph, the life of Joseph, lets us know, that you can make it through the troubles of life. Amen. God can bring you through it. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me, when you've got to go through it to get to it. Amen. You've got to go through it to get to it. When we read this story of Joseph, really there's probably not another son in the Bible other than maybe Samson that you could say that was raised with any more potential in this world than Joseph was. Joseph was the son of a rich man, and you could really say that he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I don't understand in reading these scriptures how that Joseph's father loved him more than all of his other children. That never has made sense to me. I've had Reese, my oldest boy, and when he was born, there was a love that came into my life like I had never experienced before. But when Skylar was born, that love was not divided, it was multiplied. Amen. There was not less love for Reese. There was just the same amount for another little boy. And then when Jesse came into the world, it was the same thing all over again. The love does not split. Amen. It's simply multiplied to every child. But for some reason, this son caught the heart of his father. Amen. And the Bible said that he loved him more than any of his other children. And the Bible lets us know, as Joseph grew, that his brothers began to hate him. Amen. Just let me lay a foundation here. I'm going to try to preach to you. But the Bible lets us know that jealousy got in the heart of his brothers. And I want to tell you, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Amen. Jealousy is a thing that you better not ever let get a hold of you. Amen. You don't judge yourself, your finances, your health, your marriage, anything off of other people around you. Amen. Because the devil would like to get jealousy in the heart of every person. Amen. And therefore you would despise that person. Hatred would get in your heart. Bitterness would get in your heart. Jealousy got a hold of his brothers. Amen. And the Bible said that when he came out just simply with a dream of what God was going to do in his life, that they hated him for the favor that even God was showing to Joseph, the favor that their father was showing to him. And then the Bible said that they put him in a pit. They was going to kill him. They made up a story to tell his fathers that they was going to put him in a pit. They was going to rip up that coat. They was going to put blood on it, take it back to their father, and let him think that Joseph was dead. And there's a message in that, all of it, of its own. Amen. Because when they went back to his father and they showed him the coat, the Bible said that he began to say, surely an evil beast hath devoured my son. They didn't even have to tell him a story. All they did was show him a bloody coat, and he was willing to make up the story on his own. Does that not sound like us sometimes in life? The devil shows us a bleak picture of what life has become, and we'll make up the story of how it got that way. way. Amen. We'll get bitter and we'll get mad at God for what has happened in our lives. But don't believe the tale of a bloody coat. Amen. The devil will try to make you think that you'll never get out of where you're at. You'll never get past it. You'll never get through it. But I've got good news for you tonight. God will bring you through. God's going to bring you out. Amen. This is not the end of the story, Joseph. But I like the Bible said that Joseph, amen, he didn't sin against God. Amen. When they sold him to Potiphar, when he went to that place, you can see how the presence of God was in his life. And God began to promote him once again. Amen. And before long, he was the head of Potiphar's house. And I like the way that Joseph lived. Because when Potiphar's wife came into him, no doubt it was tempting. A woman of power, a woman that could have made his life easy, a woman that could offer him anything that he wanted. Amen. But when she began to seduce him, amen, Joseph realized that my integrity is more important than my pleasure. And we must realize that in this life. Amen. Our integrity with God, our good name, is rather to be chosen than great riches. Amen. And I believe that day when he turned that woman down and she laid hold of him, amen, it was not hard for Joseph to leave that coat with that wicked woman, because he had left a coat many years ago. He didn't fight against it then he wasn't going to fight now, because he knew God was on his side. Then there'll be times in your life, amen, there's going to be times in your life once again when you can fall and mess up. And I want to tell you, keep your integrity with God. Amen. Don't let the surroundings of life influence your decisions. It don't matter what others do. It don't matter what the popular decision is. Amen. Keep your integrity with God. Keep God on your side. Amen. Joseph went into Potiphar's house. He was lied on. But Joseph kept his name with God. He kept God's presence with him. Can you imagine the hurt that he felt? Amen. Just living right. Amen. There's times when I've made bad decisions. Amen. I've made spontaneous decisions that I shouldn't have made. And I've got myself in trouble. And I had nobody to blame but myself. But there was other times in my life, Brother Marvin, when I prayed and sought God and done exactly what I felt like that God would have me to do. And I still ran into trouble. And trouble still found where I was. Amen. And there's times you have to ask God, why did this happen to me? Amen. Why is all of this befallen me? Amen. Just ask Job. Amen. The Bible lets us know that Job was the richest man in all of the East. But we look in a day in Job's life when everything began to fall apart. But the Bible said that Job, he'd sin not, nor charge God foolishly. Amen. There's times in your life when things you don't understand will happen. But I come to tell you tonight, there's times you just got to go through some things in this life. Amen. Just because you got saved and got God on your side does not mean that there will not be setbacks and disappointments. Amen. They happen to us all. But I want to tell you, we must keep God on our side. Amen. The Bible said that weeping may endure for a night. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know the trouble in your life. But I did come to preach to you that there is nights that you'll cry all night long. Amen. Weeping may endure for a night. Amen. There was a preacher that pastored a large church. Well, I feel like preaching. If I can get loose and just preach to you tonight. Amen. There was a preacher that pastored a large church. His wife got cancer and passed away. He didn't understand why. His daughter, when that happened to her mom, she got bitter against God. She left the house of God, went out and began to live a wicked, wicked life. And her dad, it broke his heart. He would come into church service after service. His wife was dead and now his daughter was backslid. He didn't know what he was going to do. One Sunday morning he came in. They could tell that he had been crying, that he was wore out. But he preached that morning on weeping may endure for the night. After church, his deacon came up to him and said, "Pastor, is there anything I can do to help you?" He said, "No, sir, y'all go on with your family. I'm going to have to fight this one by myself." He went into the study that day and prayed all day long. That night when they came back to church, they said at church time the study door opened and that old tired preacher walked out with tear stains down his cheek. They said he had a smile on his face. They said, "Pastor, is it morning yet?" He said, "Oh no, it's still dark." But he said, "The stars are shining brighter than they've ever shone in my life." You know what he was saying? "I'm still in the valley. I'm still in trouble. But I got a glimmer of hope today, amen, that God's still on the throne. I didn't come to tell you tonight that you was coming out of the valley, amen, although you can. I don't know, you may not, but I believe that God can show you a glimmer of hope even in the valley, amen. Weeping may endure for the night." Brother Russell McDonald, I was preaching a meeting with him a couple years ago. I heard him tell this story. Amen. He said in their church back when Hurricane Katrina hit and it flooded that church, he said he walked back into the church and water was waist deep. Brother Marvin, he said he went into his study, and when he opened the door, pews was floating throughout the church. Everything was ruined. He said, "When I opened my study door," he said, "I had a paper globe that my wife had made me sitting on my desk." And he said the water had reached the top of my desk. And he said that globe had fell apart and was floating all over my study. And he said the devil jumped on my back and said, "Preacher, your world is falling apart." And he said I began to cry when I realized my world was falling apart. But he said, God spoke to me and said, "Son, when your world falls apart, I'm still God." Amen. It don't matter what's going on in your life tonight. It don't matter what's going on in your marriage tonight. Can I tell you, when your world is falling apart, that there is still a God that sits high and he looks low. And he said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning." He put a possibility on the weeping, but he put a promise on the joy. He said, "There's going to be a day when you come out of the valley. There's going to be a day when you reach the mountain. Amen. Joy is going to come in the morning." Amen. I want to tell you, I've had some hard knocks in this life. I didn't come to cry on your shoulder. But can I tell you a little story about my life? Amen. About 2.5 years ago, I was going through one of the hardest trials I've ever went through. It seemed like I'd pray and the heavens were brass. It seemed like there was no help. I'd go to church. I'd preach. We'd get in. There wasn't no help for me. Amen. Have you ever been there before? I'd preach to others. There's help. And I'd feel the Lord help me preach to them. But then when it was me all by myself, it seemed hopeless. It seemed helpless. My wife was expecting our third child. And we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. There was days that I would call her. I'd say, "Baby, I wish our little baby was here. I'd just come home. I'd shut the door on the world. Just get in my little bubble. Hold my baby." You ever felt like doing that before? Amen. There's times I go home, I shut the door, I lock the door and dare anybody to come. Amen. I just get in my own house, my own little bubble. Amen. That's where I wanted to be. Didn't want nobody to mess with me. And I was looking forward to August the 23rd. They had set up the date for C-section. I was looking forward to that day because I felt like I could get a little peace in my life. When I held that baby in my arms, I'll never forget getting up that morning, going to the hospital, going in early that morning. They taking my wife back. And I'm telling you, when I walked into that delivery room and they handed me that third little boy, it meant everybody was hoping for a girl. They said, "It's another boy. Hand him to me." I'm telling you, life stopped right there. It felt so good. I didn't care what was going on outside. I had my baby in my arms. But I'll never forget, as I sit there and I watched him take his vitals. And it was probably 45 minutes after he was born. I had looked him all over, I thought. Then all of a sudden, that little right hand came out from behind his head. And he stretched it out. And I seen those fingers webbed together all the way up. And that hand was about half the size of the other hand. And I want to tell you something. The devil threw 1,000 darts in my back and said, "I got you again, boy." Amen. Happiest day of my life. One of the happiest days of my life. And I felt like the devil stabbed me in the back and said, "Now what are you going to do?" Amen. I walked into that room with my wife. Everybody went out. Mom knew something was wrong. She said, everybody get out and leave them alone. And I leaned down with tears streaming down my face and said, Mama, we got a problem. I don't know what's going on. I asked the nurse and she just covered him up. Wouldn't tell me nothing. They didn't know what it was. But I'll never forget the loneliness, man, and the heartbreak that set in on us that night. And I'm telling you, I don't know how many of you's ever heard me sing. Probably not very many, because I don't do it. Because I don't sing good at all. But I want to tell you, when it was just me and Jill and that baby in that hospital room that night, the boys had went home with her sisters, I believe, or mom and dad, somebody. It was just us three. I leaned down, Brother Rich, because that was on a Monday, if I remember right, and Sunday night, Jill had got up to sing at church, and she sung through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. And I want to tell you, that night in that hospital room when it felt like we was all by ourselves, I leaned down with tears running down my face, and I sung in her ear, through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Amen. I didn't have Dad with his arm around my back. I didn't have Mom there to tell my problems to. And I want to tell you something. There was a presence that came in that room that night, amen, that nobody else could do. And I'm telling you, it didn't get better. It still hasn't got a lot better. And I want to tell you, I found out that night, amen, that joy will come in the morning. Amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. The Holy Ghost let me know in no uncertain terms. It don't matter what happens in his life. I'll walk beside you. Amen. I'll walk hand in hand with you. And whatever's going on in your life, you may not understand it. You know, it may not realize the reason why God has placed it in your life. But can I tell you, just go through it. Amen. The Bible said, or God said, that going through the fire, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. It's easy to say, God, why don't you pick us up? Why don't you take us out of it? But there's times when God wants to see if we want it bad enough just to go on through it. Amen. A friend of mine, he's a lot like me. He don't like sissified boys. And he said his nephew, he didn't have children at the time. He said his nephew, when he was with him, would fall down. Now, I want to tell you something. I was rough on Cherry, Jonathan's oldest boy. I didn't want to hear no whining. And it didn't get no better with my three. I didn't want to hear them whine every time they fell down. Amen. I wanted to raise men. And that's the way he was. He said every time his little nephew would fall down, he'd start whining. He'd say, if you're going to be my man, you can't do that whining. He'd straighten up. And he said one day, he was working in the back of his dually pickup. And he said he heard that little two-year-old trying to climb up. But he wouldn't help him. He wanted to make a man out of him. He said he heard him slip and fall. He heard him start crying. And he leaned out the back of that truck and he said, you want me to help you? And he said, with tears running down that little two-year-old's face, he said, no, I'll do it. I show you I'm your man. Amen. I wonder if God ever looks over the balcony of heaven down to us and said, you want me to take it out? Could we ever reply to him and say, no, don't take me out of the trouble. Don't take me out of the trial. Just let me walk through it and let me show you that I'm not just here for the loaves and the fishes. Amen. But I'm here to serve you. I'm here to do whatever you want me to do. Sometimes we serve God because he's a Santa Claus. He hands out everything that we want. And I want to tell you, there's going to be a time in your life when you got to learn how to stand when nobody's standing. You're going to have to learn to pray when nobody's praying and say, God, I'm going to get through this trouble in my life. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. December the 6th of 2004, Warren and Julie Lavender was on their honeymoon. They wanted to go deep sea diving. They had always wanted to do it. They trained for it before they got married. And on their honeymoon, out on an island somewhere, they went deep sea diving. They took them out in a little boat. They dropped them off. They went down about 80 feet. And they said when they got to the bottom, there was a strange current in the water. They couldn't see the coral reef. They couldn't see the fish. They said they were scared of them. Anytime they got close, they would leave. The water was murky. And he said after about 15 minutes, he pointed to the surface. He said, when we resurfaced, I jerked my mask off and looked around and said, that was the dumbest thing that we've ever done. I'll never do it again. And then he said he began to look for the boat that they was on. There was no boat. He said he began to look around at the 50-story motel that they had been staying in. There was no motel. There was cars floating in the water. There was trees all around them. And they did not realize that while they was down at the bottom, that great tsunami of 2004 had came over top of them and destroyed the island that they was on. They interviewed him later, and I love what he said. He said, some call it fate, but he said, I say, God put us down at the right place, at the right time, so the real storm could pass over. Amen. Could it be in your life that God's got you pushed down in a trial, pushed down in a valley, so the real storm of life could pass over? I come to preach to you, keep going. Amen. Keep walking. Keep pressing on for God. You're going to get through the valley, and God's going to bring you out on the other side. Oh, hallelujah. I love that song. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Amen. I believe God can put His hand on our life and let the storm of life pass over. Amen. I don't understand everything that happens. Neither did Joseph. Amen. But I know that he stayed true to God in spite of what happened in his life. Amen. How many of you like to cook? Every once in a while I like to. I got curious here a while back of the ingredients of some things. I begin to look. Everybody likes ranch dressing, don't they? Sure, everybody likes it. But when I begin to look at how it's made, soybean oil, water, egg yolk, sugar, salt, buttermilk, food starch, don't sound good, does it? But there's somebody that knows just how much of each thing to put in and knows just how to stir it up until it's something that everybody likes. And you know that's the way life is. We don't like pain and loneliness, suffering, sorrow. We don't like cancer, do we, Sister Gayla? I'm telling you, we hate it. We don't like those things. And we say, God, I don't like the ingredients of life. But I believe there's a great chef in heaven that says, just hold on until I get through putting it in and let me stir it up. Hey, man, Joseph, just hold on. I know all you've got to give me is a pasture and a pit and a prison. That's the only thing that you can offer me. But I believe when God got through stirring it up, He looked down at Joseph and said, how does a palace sound to you? Hey, man, I know you didn't have much to give to me, but the Bible said that all things work together for the good to them that love of God. Amen. I believe that if we'll walk this life, amen, through the storms and through the rain and through the flood, amen, that there's a God in heaven that at the end of life will say, amen, I've got a palace waiting for you. I've got a mansion in heaven. Amen. It'll be worth it. Paul said the suffering of this present time won't even be worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. So when I look back over my life, I don't understand why things happen. But I know this, that all things work together for the good. And I want to tell you something, Brother Brock. They told us, the Shriners is the only one that knew anything about Poland syndrome. There was one doctor in Oklahoma that had ever even heard of it. They didn't know what it was. Shriners took us in down in Shreveport, Louisiana. They said, we've worked with it before. You know what they told me? They said, when you come to our hospital and you walk down our halls, you'll thank God for what you've got. And I want to tell you, there's been days that I've walked down. I've seen 3- and 4-year-olds crawling without a leg, without an arm, hands messed up worse. I want to tell you, even though it was the worst thing that happened in my life, I've got down on my knees and said, thank God for everything you've given me. Amen. Because I realize as long as God walks through it with us, we can walk through every valley. There's been people that's a lot greater than me that's went through things that I could never dream of going through. And I want to tell you how we're going to make it through the problems of life. We're going to have to get a hold of God's hand and say, wherever you lead me, that's where I'm going to go. Amen. I'm not going to walk away from God. Jesus looked at Peter and said, will you go also? And he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Amen. That's exactly how I feel. Lord, to whom shall we go? I can't get away from God. He's my rock. He is my anchor in a time of storm. Amen. I like what the Bible said when the enemy was looking at Israel. Amen. And they judged. They said, their rock is not as our rock. Amen. I want to tell you, when we stand on the rock of God, amen. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I can't get nowhere, somebody get a hold of me and lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. You got to go through some things in this life, but God will bring you out on the other side. Stand with me all over the house. Amen. I believe God will bring you out. Joseph will testify to that fact. Amen. Job, was it worth it? You lost everything you had. I believe Job would stand up at the end and say, I got double for my trouble. Amen. John the Revelator, you was stranded on an Isle of Patmos. You didn't deserve to be there. But John would look at you and say, I got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I got caught up into the third heaven. Amen. Those Hebrew boys, was it worth it? They'd say, we didn't know. Amen. When we stepped in the fire, what was going to happen? But when we got inside, there was already another one in there, likened unto the Son of God. Daniel, was it worth it? He'd say, when I got in the lion's den, the lion of the tribe of Judah was already there. Shut the lion's mouth. Moses, do you remember that statement that you made? Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures. Amen. Do you remember that? Was it worth it? You died on a mountain somewhere. Nobody even knows where you're at. Was it really worth it? I think Moses would say, turn over to the New Testament, boys. That wasn't the last mountain I was on. Amen. There was a Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus Christ himself was there. Moses said there was another mountaintop. Amen. It was worth every valley I walked through. It was worth every trial I had in my life. And it'll be for you too. Bow your heads with me tonight all over the house. I preach my heart to you. I don't understand why we go through what we go through. I don't understand why you're where you're at. I don't understand sometimes why I'm where I'm at. But I can tell you, we can commit ourselves to the hands of God. Amen. He'll do what's best in our life if we will commit ourselves to Him. Is there one, I won't tarry long tonight, but is there one you don't understand what you're going through, but you say, I just need to know, is there hope tonight? Is there help for me? I come to preach to you tonight. He'll wrap His arms around you. He'll pick you up. He'll let you know that He can help you out of the valley. Is there one that'll step out? Just home folks here tonight, as far as I know, you can step out and say, I just need to know that God knows where I'm at. I need to feel the assurance that heaven knows right where I'm at tonight. Is there one? Oh, hallelujah. God knows where you're at. He knows exactly what you've been through. He knows what you're suffering with. And He knows how to help you. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Amen. God knows what you're going through. All right, church, let's come in around these altars. Find you somebody to pray with. Wrap your arms around them. We need God to let us know. I know where you're at. I can pick you up out of the valley. I can calm the troubled waters of your soul. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to help somebody tonight. He knows what you're going through. Oh, Job said he knows. I looked for God. I looked for Him everywhere. I couldn't find God. But He knows the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to come out of it. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.